message. Brother Dennis tells me we have over 30, 32 in counting. That's a big bump up from before, so that's good. And I pray that these messages are blessing you and encouraging you and helping you. And that God, it's really God's word, and what God's just laying on my heart to share with you. So I'm just eternally grateful. I pray for you. I hope you're doing well. Whoever's listening, watching, I pray for you every day. Our congregation and every person's affiliated, and of course, all our friends and family. And for those that need special healing and encouragement during this time, we need to pray for one another. We'll be soon. We're going to believe, worshiping together. And congregating and assembling, we see each other. So some people got vaccinations this week. I was left out. If I'd have showed up and hung out, I think I could have got one, but we'll be getting those. But that's your prerogative. Appreciate those who were able to do that, and hopefully we'll get everybody safe and sound and back to worshiping church and doing the things that we love to do, everything like that. So thank you for being here. This is the fourth Sunday. We have five Sundays in January. This is January 24th, 2021. So without further ado, let's pray. Ask God to be with us as we look into His Word for this special word from Him this morning. Dear God in heaven, thank you for this moment and these moments together for all who are listening and watching. Lord God, bless their lives, touch their hearts, meet their needs through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus for every single person that's affiliated with our congregation, for our nation, for our world, for the Church of Jesus Christ and all believers around this planet, and certainly here in our own country, in our own state, and in our own community. So God, I pray for every household, for every individual. God, bless them, touch their hearts. Lord, be with us as I share. Be with me. Fill my mind and heart and spirit with the words that you would have for me to share today from your word. May it be an encouragement, strengthening, and result in growth and accomplishment of your purpose in all of our lives. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, in the last Sunday, we talked about the final beatitude. The final beatitude, blessed are the persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then Jesus went on to elaborate in detail about how his disciples may be persecuted. That was the first century A.D. That's been going on for over 2,000 years. It's going on today, and I mentioned last Sunday that around the world there are more Christians being persecuted today than ever before in the history of our planet. So we got to pray for one another, pray for the persecuted church. We in the United States of America so far are living relatively free of persecution, except in subtle ways and in certain other ways that we won't get into, but just know that we are blessed when that happens. And a couple of things that just to remind you of last week, that when we are persecuted, we do not take it personally, because Jesus specifically said, when you're persecuted, number one, for righteousness' sake, number two, because of me, Jesus said, meaning himself. So when we're persecuted as a believer in Christ, for our faith in Christ, for our walk in Christ, for our testimony and witness in Christ, it's because he's living through us. And people, for whatever reason, the enemy instigating attack against those who are believers, they're really attacking Jesus. So it's not us, even though it still hurts sometimes. So in light of the context of that beatitude on persecution, I moved you to a defense mechanism. Really, it's defense and offensive to withstand the attacks of the evil one in the context of persecution. And I took you to Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about the full armor of God. And we kind of just glanced at that, just introduced that. So today, and I promise you, we're going to go back to that. I want to reinforce those passages. And then I want to share with you another passage in respect to the victory that we have in Jesus Christ, the continuous victory we have in Christ. Two of the most powerful passages perhaps in the New Testament, and that's a stretch to say because there's thousands of passages that are powerful in the New Testament. But maybe for this day, I want to share with you these two passages. Now, I want you to really take them in. I want you to really absorb them. I almost wish we were in our Sunday school class, our Bible study class. I could use the marker board and break these components down for you. But I think I'll help you have a way to help you remember these passages and remember the content of these passages. And the first is what I shared with you last Sunday, and that is Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18. And so I want to begin with that passage, and I want you to absorb that, remember that, even jot it down if you have an opportunity. You can put me on pause as you're listening or as you're viewing, and just write down, okay, Ephesians 6. Ephesians, a letter written by the Apostle Paul, the last chapter is 6, verses 10 through 18. I want to read these, and then I want a content, so I want a comment on the content so that you can receive them and keep them and absorb them and apply them and incorporate them into your life. Remember, we did this last Sunday, but we're going to go a little bit more slowly and in detail. Ephesians 6, 10, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. So it's an admonition. Paul begins with a statement of admonition. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. So we talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, to be strong in Him and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be strong. Why do we need to be strong? Because in this life we face adversity. We face all kinds of obstacles. We face attack for our faith. We face struggle just because we live in a fallen world. We face situations that will tempt us to doubt and to question and to feel weak, and we'll get discouraged and even depressed, and we'll begin to maybe lack our faith. We got to be strong in the Lord. Strong in the Lord. Paul, in this passage, as he's concluded this strong letter to the Ephesians, one of my favorite books of the Bible, by the way, he was thinking in respect to the end time. He was thinking actually in respect not only to the end time, but as Christians go through this fallen world, and as he knew what they would be experiencing and facing and suffering, he wanted them to be strong. And he wanted them to be strong in the Lord's mighty power. And it's the power of the Lord. It's not my power. It's not your power. It's not anybody else. It's the power of the Lord. So he told them, here's how you do that. Here's how you stay strong. His first instruction, verse 11, put on the full armor of God. The full armor of God. We're going to go over each of those components. There are six components, six aspects to the full armor of God, and a seventh that incorporates the power of God and the power of Christ in wearing that armor. But then he gives us, before he describes the armor, he gives us the motivation or the rationale for it. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. And the following is a spiritual truth that I shared with you, a spiritual principle, a spiritual truth, a theological truth I shared with you last week, that Paul describes in respect to any persecution that's a result of conflict that we as believers face on this earth. It's the same conflict that Jesus encountered. Jesus did not, his enemy, the enemies of Christ were not flesh and blood. They were the enemy of God, satanic, demonic influence that attacked him because he was the Son of God and he was here for a purpose to accomplish the salvation of humankind. And that's what we face as well as followers of Jesus Christ. Paul describes it. He says, for our struggle, we have struggle in this world living for Jesus, is not against flesh and blood. So we're really, our conflict is not against other people. or even other institutions ruled by man, it's against the rulers and against the authorities and against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. I don't have time to really break that down in detail, but I want you to think about rulers, authorities, and powers in this demonic world, in this realm, in the heavenly realm that surrounds this planet. There are spiritual forces that are demonic, that rule, that have authority, that are dictated by the enemy, and they have evil power in this dark world. Spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That's who we're fighting against. That's who the struggle is against. We need protection. We need the armor of God. We need the name of Jesus Christ. So then Paul, he describes what we're up against. Now he goes into detail about what we can do to defend ourselves and take the offensive. Therefore, because this situation exists in respect to conflict, therefore put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, and when the day of evil comes is any day that we're confronted with evil forces, these rulers, these powers, these authorities in the heavenly realms that are under the influence of satanic forces, demonic forces that seek to destroy everything that's about God, everything that belongs to God, everything that God loves or God cares about. And that includes you and me if we belong to Jesus Christ. So we've got to put on the full armor so that when the day of evil comes, we may be able to stand our ground. And after we have done everything, to stand firm, to not waver, to not back off, to not give in, to not feel defeated. And Paul goes into detail. Stand firm then with first item of the full armor of God, the belt of truth. The belt of truth. The belt of truth holds everything together, all the other armor. If you don't have the belt of truth, nothing is going to stay put. The belt of truth is Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. The truth of Christ is the truth of God's word. Jesus Christ is the living word who is revealed by the written word. And it's the truth of God. The truth of God starts in Genesis. It goes to Revelation. It reveals Christ. Christ is the ultimate truth. The written word is consistent with the living word. And we have the belt of truth around us because we have Jesus. The second item is the breastplate of righteousness around your waist. Put your belt of truth around your waist with the breastplate of righteousness in place. Obviously, that's like full body armor. That's like the military and what our law enforcement use to protect their torso. The breastplate of righteousness. We only have the breastplate of righteousness if we have Jesus Christ as the belt of truth around our waist and in our hearts. Jesus gives us the righteousness. And we're to live in His righteousness. And we have the breastplate that covers most of our body, protects the vital organs that we have. The breastplate of righteousness in place. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. King James might have that worded a little bit differently, but basically he's talking about our shoes. Our shoes, our boots, our feet are fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Peace. So where we're going to go, wherever we go, we walk with our feet. So our feet are shod with the gospel of peace. We're ready to share the gospel, the good news. Our words have no power. The gospel has power. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16, in a nutshell, of the gospel of peace. And we're to have those shoes on, ready to share and give witness. Always, as Paul would say, or maybe Peter in his book, in season, out of season, ready to give a testimony of your faith in the gospel of peace that controls and governs your life, that's given us eternal life. Just a little tiny personal note. My family rags on me because I never wear house slippers. And I don't know why, actually, it's just something I always get up and put on my regular shoes and sock. And I examine it myself. Why is that? They all wear house slippers. I don't like wearing house slippers. Why? Because for some reason, it must be back in my subconscious somewhere, I always want to be ready. If I have to go at a second's notice, I want to be ready. I don't want to have to go out with house slippers on. Okay, that's kind of silly. But that's kind of consistent with what Paul is saying. You got to be ready. You got to have your shoes on. And it's the gospel of peace ready to share at a moment's notice. Now you take up, in addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can accomplish, you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. I want you to think about this. Now we think of the image of the shield. And certainly that's a wonderful image. Like all of these metaphors are images of what we possess as believers in Jesus Christ, as born-again believers with the Holy Spirit in our life. But the shield of faith, the shield of faith, it's our faith. When we get a flaming arrow from the enemy that says, there is no God, you're all full of beans, everything is fantasy, it's all a bunch of big lie. When we put up a shield of faith for that flaming arrow, a shield, a flaming arrow will say, you're not worthy, you're not worth anything, you're nobody, nobody loves you, there is no God who loves you. That's a shield of faith. I'm going to block that flaming arrow with my faith that I know, that I know. Why? Because I have the truth around my waist, I have a breastplate of righteousness, and I have faith. It's a shield against every flaming arrow that the enemy, Satan, shoots my way. No matter what he might say, no matter what lie come, you know the devil is the father of lies. So he'll shoot those flaming arrows of lies and half-truths and doubt and discouragement and despair and depression and try to dissuade us from what we know by faith, what we've accepted by faith. I have my faith. I believe it. I've chosen to believe in a mighty God. An all-consuming God and a loving Lord Jesus Christ, his Son, who is literal and real and has me protected and filled and sealed for eternity. So that's my shield of faith. My faith is my shield with which I extinguish any flaming dart or arrow that Satan shoots my way. Then put on the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. My salvation is in Jesus Christ, the belt of truth, the blessed breastplate of righteousness. My salvation is my helmet, is my salvation. You can't touch my head. You can't hit a striking blow against my noggin because I have salvation in Christ. So nothing can touch me or take my life. Okay? That's the helmet around my head. And then my offensive weapon, the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit, metaphor, the sword of the Spirit, that's what I'm going to fight with. It's the Word of God. That's why we have to know the Word of God. That's why we have to not only just read it, we got to read it. We've got to remember it. We've got to know it. We've got to understand it. We've got to use it. We've got to use it. Every doubt can be dispelled by the truth of God's Word. Every attack can be dispelled by the power of God's word. And remember, my words are not powerful at all, but God's word is powerful. If I would go out witnessing and sharing my faith with someone, I would always want to recite a portion of God's word, John 3:16, or the Romans Road to Salvation, or some scripture from Acts, or any possible scripture, 1 John. Because it's the Word of God that's powerful. It's the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. The Holy Spirit inspired men to write this Word, filled it with supernatural power, and it is powerful when we use it. So there it is. Here's how you can, and well, the power that really reinforces everything after the sword of Spirit, which is the Word of God, and here's the last thing Paul says. This is component number 7. We got belt, breastplate, shoes, shield, helmet, and sword. That's 6 components. Here's number 7. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be on alert, always keep on praying for all the saints. It's a prayer. Prayer is hard work. Prayer. Prayer in the Spirit. The Spirit filled with the Holy Spirit to instigate, motivate, initiate, and just expound through His movement in me and His fullness in me to pray as He leads, as He brings to mind, as I pray in Jesus' name on all occasions for any request, anything, any and everything. Pray is the power that reinforces all of the armor. And there's nothing that can withstand that, nothing that can come against that, nothing come against you. I mean, it'll come against you, but it won't defeat you. It won't overpower you. You got this on. Because we live in evil days. Now, people are evil because we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. But it's the devil that's the influencer. The one that instigates the demonic force to destroy what God created. And he's out to try to take down everything with respect to Jesus Christ. He thought he had achieved victory when Jesus was hung on a cross. And his blood was shed. And he died his last breath. But the devil didn't realize 3 days later he rose from the grave. The devil was defeated and sin was destroyed and death was overcome. We'll have to pass through that passage. But we have eternal life through the Spirit of the living God, through our faith in Jesus Christ. So it's a powerful passage. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Put on the full armor of God. Stand firm in the Lord and the power of His mighty power. And here's how you remember the armor. Really? Listen. Belt of truth. Breastplate of righteousness. Shoes, the gospel of peace. It's the gospel of peace. It's not the gospel of warfare. Remember that. Shield. Shoes, shield of faith. Helmet of salvation. Sword of the Spirit. You wear that every day. Every day. Every day and every night. Make sure we're standing in. We sleep in. We rise up in. We walk in, we work in the full armor of God. We never take it off. Metaphors of our relationship and our condition in Jesus Christ. The days are evil and we will be coming under attack. If we haven't already, subtly, small ways, large ways, who knows what ways. But we have the full armor of God. Now the second most powerful passage regarding this victory in Jesus is in the book of Romans chapter 8. I would consider Romans as kind of my other favorite book, along with the Gospel of John, along with Revelation, along with, never mind, it's all there. The first 8 chapters of the book of Romans, powerful. The last chapter 8 is the most powerful of those 8. And the last part of chapter 8 is the most powerful of the chapter. This you can remember. Romans 8, verse 31 through the end of the chapter. I think that would be verse 40 or 39. Anyway, Romans 8. Remember that. Write it down. Put me on pause. Romans 8. It goes along with what we've been talking about. We started with Jesus' last beatitude. Blessed are the persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who are persecuted because of me, when they say all evil things and they come against you and they attack you. But we can stand firm in Christ and in the power of His might because we have the full armor of God in the days of evil that we face. And then we pray on all occasions for all things. And here's the summary of our victory. Romans 8, 31. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will he not, along with him, with his son, graciously give us all things? Who will bring anything against God's, who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Therefore, no charge brought against those of us who have been chosen by God will stand. Who is it that condemns? Anyone going to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died. More than that, he was raised to life. So if someone tries to bring condemnation on me, I stand in Christ. He died for me. He died for my condemnation, and he rose from the grave and lives today. He is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Us, that means you, that means me. Jesus interceding in behalf of me before the Father. Because I've put my faith in him, I've committed my life, I've surrendered myself to Jesus Christ. Therefore, no one can bring a charge against me, not the devil, not hell, not any entity. Who shall separate us? Here we go. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble? Hardship? Persecution? Famine? Nakedness? Or danger? Our sword. As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We who belong to Jesus, we're considered as sheep to be slaughtered, just like the Lamb of God, our Savior and Lord. No. Paul says no, verse 37. No. In all these things, all what things? Danger, sword, trouble, nakedness, famine, persecution, hardship, whatever. In all these things, what? We are more than conquerors. We have won the victory in Jesus Christ. Through him who loved us and saved us, Paul says, for I am convinced, he repeats, in good Hebrew literary style, I'm convinced that neither death, listen, Romans 8, the last chapter, I mean the last verses. I'm convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any other powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If that's not victory, I don't know what is. So I could think no more appropriate song to share with you than one I first absorbed into my bosom at First Baptist Church, Port Lavaca, Texas in 1977. I heard an old story about a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning, and then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. I knew him. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath his cleansing blood. Last verse. I heard about, you're gonna like this, a mansion he had built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing that old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Sing it. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Lord Jesus, we thank you for plunging us beneath the cleansing flood when we heard the gospel message of your coming to this earth to die on the cross for our sin, and you rose again. You paid the full price for all of what we have done wrong, all that separated us from God. You took that to the grave, but you rose, achieving victory over sin and death and the devil. And God, in you, you've sent us the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, as Romans 8, 9 says. We have all of you inside our lives. We can stand firm and stand strong, and we have the privilege of putting on the full armor of God, the belt, the breastplate, the shoes, the shield, the helmet, and the sword, and pray on all occasions for all things. We will be protected. And Lord, as Paul said, they may do anything they want with this old fleshly body, but they'll never touch our soul. Our spirit is with you. We're more than conquerors. Neither height nor depth or breadth or width, not anything on this planet can touch us. We have the victory in Christ Jesus our Lord. I pray for every person listening and viewing for this message today, no matter what's going on in this earth or even in our nation, God, we must stand strong with the gospel of peace, ready to share the love of Jesus Christ and the power of God in our lives. For we are untouchable from the enemy. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you. See you next Sunday.